Thank the Lord this morning for each one that's here. And by the help of the Lord, we would like to pick up where we've left off from the last 2 weeks. Ben started out just as a very brief summary, looking at the spirit of defeat that is existing not only in our world, but right among people that are professing to be saved. It seems like that there is a defeatist attitude, even that's the enemy is trying to cause to creep in amongst God's people. And we've examined and looked at a lot of that as a result of a loss of faith, because people are placing their faith in circumstances and their own ability. But if we're going to have a spirit of victory, we're going to have to get our eyes off of our failures, off of the places in the past that have been a difficulty to us, and get our eyes on Jesus, and that therein we can have a spirit of victory that will enable us to overcome the battles and trials that all of us face in life. Now the scripture said they overcame. Over in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, he said, "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God is in the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down." There is an accuser. There's one that is opposing all of us this morning, that is trying to cause us to have a spirit of defeat. And yet, verse 11 said, they overcame him. They had victory by the blood of the Lamb. And we examined the victory that we can have through the blood of the Lamb last Sunday and through the power of the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is not just a conclusion to prayer. It is the crux, and it is the power that we call on to defeat the power of the enemy. And there is power in the blood, and there's power in the name of Jesus. So I want to encourage us this morning, when you begin to feel defeated, know that God wants you to have a spirit of victory, and it can be found through His name and through the power of the blood of Jesus. So we're going to pick up there. And again, this was all intended. At least I thought it was going to be just one message, and this is the third, and we're not going to finish this morning. So we're just going to let the Lord and the Spirit lead. Young lady, 17 years old, said, "Yes, I believe in God." Young man stood glaring at this woman with his weapon before her face. He asked her, "Do you believe in God?" And it was a life and a death question. Do you believe in God? She looked at him and she said, "Yes, I believe in God." And he said, "Why?" And her executioner killed her before she had an answer, before she had time to answer that question. That did not happen in China. You know where that happened? Some of you? It didn't happen in Pakistan. It didn't happen in the ancient times. Didn't happen at the Roman Colosseum. It happened at Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado. April 20th, 1999. Do you believe in God? And she answered with a yes, and her life was ended. So the question is, was she defeated? I don't know that young lady's walk with God. I don't know how she stood with the Lord as far as her personal life, but I know this. I know that she had a testimony in the face of death, that yes, I believe in God, and I am not ashamed of it. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to excuse it. And with a gun being pointed in my face, yes, I believe in God. Do you know that if she had been washed, if she was washed in the blood of Jesus, when that young man took her life, She entered into the ultimate victory into the arms of God. The ultimate victory. She was not defeated. Folks, physical consequences, physical things and temporal things that happen in this life are not a direct result from the decision that we have made to follow the Lord. In other words, just because someone is suffering does not mean that they are defeated. Just because someone is being tempted does not mean they've given in to the devil. Just because someone faces opposition does not mean God is not in their life. I believe in God. Those words, the semblance of that testimony has brought many a person into the arms of Jesus. And I wonder this morning, if we want the spirit of victory, are we willing, by the word of our testimony, to stand up this morning, not just in church service? Because see, we're kind of in a refuge place here. It's kind of a refuge here because everybody here believes in the Lord. You know, it's hard. Why is it hard enough on Wednesday night for someone to stand up and testify? You know, some people it's really, really hard and difficult for them. In other people, it's too easy just to get up and talk. You know, there's some, we want the Holy Spirit to lead us. But even in church service, it's hard sometimes for people that I know they believe like I believe. But are we willing this morning to stand up in the world in which we live that is opposing everything that is true and right? And are we willing to stand up and say, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe, let me go a step further. I believe in holy living. Do you realize that if we are going to have victory this morning, they overcame the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb, and it says, by the word of their testimony. If we want to have victory this morning, we are going to have to overcome, yes, by the blood, by the name of Jesus, but now we have a part. And part of our responsibility is that I will be able to stand up unashamed of the gospel of Christ and testify not just of what God says in His Word, but I can testify what God has done in my life. I am a child of God. I am saved. I have been forgiven of my sins. This is what God did for me. What's your testimony this morning? There is power in the word of our testimony. There is power on multiple levels. They openly hear when John the Revelator was speaking, and he said the accuser of the brethren was cast down by the word of their testimony. Do you know that our accuser can be cast down by the word of our testimony today? They openly declared the truth, even in suffering and in death, and they overcame the devil. They overcame false doctrine by believing and testifying of their faith. John the Revelator, when he said this, he said, I saw the accuser cast down in that the church did not cave to the opposition of the enemy. The church, as a corporate body, did not give in because of persecution. They were steadfast in their testimony. So I have a question this morning. Will we, as a corporate body, overcome the enemy in this generation? If we want to have victory over the enemy, we are going to, as a corporate body, and I'm going to speak about the personal aspect, but as a body of believers, we must in this generation have that same purpose and that same willingness to stand up and openly declare we believe in the power of God. We believe in salvation. I still believe this morning that the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from your sin. I still believe this morning that there is power in Jesus Christ to be able to go and sin no more. The addictions and the power of the world can be broken through Jesus Christ. I openly declare that. And we openly declare this morning that the Word of God still says, be holy as I am holy. We live in a generation that many of them want to hold on to Christ, but they want to adopt the practices and lifestyles of the world. And hence we have so many different modes of worship and modes of different religions and philosophies of life. I still believe this morning that if you want to go to heaven, you are going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to take up your cross. You're going to have to say no to self and yes to God and live a holy, pure, unblemished life. And it is doable. You don't have to have a spirit of defeat and say, I can't do it. Yes, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But when we testify to that faith, it proves, it bolsters, it causes us to be steadfast when we testify to what we believe. They overcame by the word of their testimony. They were constantly testifying against the errors and the follies of false religion around them. The early morning church was. So what happens this morning if we as a corporate body fail to have the word of our testimony? What's going to happen? Do you realize if we do not continue to testify against? You see, our testimony is not just negative. Understand. It's not just against, but it is for. It is for deliverance. It is for holiness. It is for purity. It is for a relationship with God that I don't want to do those things I used to do. I found something better. But if we fail to testify to that, what will happen to us as a body of believers? The enemy will bring defeat in people's lives. Folks, if we do not continue to uphold by the word of our testimony a biblical standard, I'm not talking about your opinions or my opinions, a biblical standard of righteous living, what will people rise to? What will people come to? There'll be a spirit of defeat. But what happens is the enemy would like to bring defeat in people's lives right in the church by the acceptance of things that are wrong. You know, a rock with a dripping faucet on, it's going to get a hole in it after a while, isn't it? It does not take very long for families to lose Christ as the center of their family. It doesn't even take a generation. You see, parents that have walked away from God and their children, many of them know nothing about truth. How does that happen? Because someone stopped testifying that this is our faith. This is what we believe is right. This is what the Word of God teaches. And so as a body of believers, it can happen in this congregation and as a body as a whole. If we fail to teach the whole truth, their defeat will come in our midst because there's not going to be a standard to rise to. And the way the devil does it is this. We all quietly agree that yes, this is what the Bible teaches. But now we look around and well, someone's come to service that doesn't see it that way. So preacher, don't preach on it. Monarch's really not the time because someone might be there that doesn't really understand. And they might get offended and they might walk away. They might walk away or they might see the truth and have something to rise to. If we begin to muffle the ministry and muffle our testimonies of what God is and what He requires in our life, what will happen through time is compromise, and it's not because we decide to go back on God. Is because we want to be so politically correct that we don't want someone to be offended and we fail to testify against the sin and the wrong that's in people's lives, and by tacit consent, we allow the enemy in our midst And when we fail to preach the whole truth and we're just quiet about it, verbally, we're verbally quiet about truth, there's defeat going to begin to come in amongst us as a people. The early morning church stood in the face of death and testified, this is the truth. This is the way. They were rejected. They were cast out. They were despised. Families were broken up over people standing in truth. But folks, they had caught a vision of something better. They had caught a vision of a kingdom that was not of this world. I don't want to have a spirit of defeat individually, and I don't want to have a spirit of defeat as a people. But to overcome the enemy, to overcome the accuser, we need to stand up and testify, this is what is right. This is what thus saith the Word of God. In other words, let's not be closet Christians. You know, you hear about people in our society living wickedly saying they're coming out of the closet. Folks, there are some Christians that need to come out of the closet and openly declare their faith in Jesus Christ. I've been with people and dealt with people that got saved and they didn't want to tell anybody. I don't want to tell anybody. I thought, why? Do you know there's power when you testify? Do you realize that if we teach truth, there are so many different examples of it, and even mentioning some examples, someone might not like it, I don't know. We could go through different things the Bible teaches us. And someone may say, but let's not talk about that now. And pretty soon we fail to talk about it. Pretty soon we stop talking about it. And pretty soon our children grow up saying, I've never heard that preached about. I don't hear that anymore. And we say, but everybody knows that's what the Bible says. And our children are saying, I don't hear it anymore. And then the enemy comes and works in their lives on that because we have not elevated a standard, a Bible standard. Do you see the importance of teaching the whole truth? It's the word of our testimony. The word of our testimony. And this is why men love darkness rather than what? Light. Because what does light do? It reveals, doesn't it? It exposes. But do you know that when someone's heart is right, and saints, let's get hold of this morning. Lord, help us to understand it. When light is turned on, it reveals and exposes. If someone's heart is right, what will they do when the light comes on? They'll embrace it, won't they? They'll look in the mirror and say, I'm unclean. I'm not living like that. I thought I was okay, but I've been exposed to truth and I recognize I need more than what I have. And if their heart is right, there is no shame to recognize our neediness this morning. The shame is in covering it up. But I think about other things when the light comes on. Have you ever been someplace where there's cockroaches? You know what happens when the light comes on? They scurry away. They want to get in the dark. They hide in the darkness. Do you know that's the same thing that happens with truth? When the truth is preached, there will be people that don't want the truth. In the time of Jesus, some walked away. But we live in a generation that says, no, we don't want to walk away. Let's just change who we are. And I wonder this morning, those even amongst God's people that have promoted change, major change, saying we don't want to do that anymore. What would the consequence be if we really gave in and we just went the way of the world? There are churches down the road that you can go to do that. This is who we are this morning. This is what we believe. We believe in cleansing from sin. We believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We believe in holiness. We believe in modesty. We believe in marriage for life. We believe in all of these things and we say, but we want to change it. There are a lot of places you can go that have changed it. And you say, but yeah, I don't like what's there. Why don't you like what's there? The victory in Jesus Christ comes when we embrace truth. That's our victory this morning. And so I might not be there this morning, but by the grace of God, I want the light to stay on. And when I fall short, I still know that's what I'm aiming for. Lord, I'm not there yet. And don't judge me too harshly. Do you know that we're all in different places in our walk with God? So that's why he said, judge not that ye be not judged. In other words, don't have unrighteous judgment. And don't have a spirit that you're looking down your nose at other people saying, well, you ought to be further along. But let's leave the lights on, folks. Let's leave the spiritual lights on. And it comes about by the word of our testimony. This is what the word says. This is what we believe. And in the face of death, we can stand with confidence and say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a picture that John had of the martyrs that were under the altar. When the fifth seal was opened in Revelation chapter 6, he said, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. Are we willing to be slain? Do you know there's almost something romantic about being slain for the word of God? Are you willing to be slain if someone put a gun, you said, yes, I would give my life for the cause of Christ. Sounds kind of like Peter in the garden. Yes, he was willing to pull out his sword and do battle. But what happened just shortly thereafter? Are you one of his disciples? There was nobody threatening his life. But in the time of temptation, he said no. It sounds more romantic to give your life and your body to be burned and be taken by the sword or stand with a gun in your face saying, will you testify of Christ? But what about young people when you are out with your friends? And what about when you are out with your friends from church that are wanting to do things you ought not to be doing? Are you willing to be slain then? Are you willing to be accused of being holier than thou? Don't have a holier than thou attitude. But are you willing to stand up and say, I'm sorry, y'all go ahead, but I'm gonna go do something different. Are we willing this morning to stand up when nobody is looking? When nobody else is around, are we willing to testify of our faith then? You see, this is where the rubber meets the road spiritually, folks. The word of our testimony, there is power in it. Jesus said that when you're persecuted, do you remember what he said to do? When you're persecuted, men cast your name out as evil. He said to jump and leap for joy. Because your Father knows where you're at. He knows who you are. He knows your name. You have an inheritance. You have a reward that you're going to gain. I'd like to speak for a moment about Polycarp. 155 AD, he was a disciple of John. Alright? Polycarp was a disciple of John. And on the day of his death, he said this, 86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I then blaspheme my King and Savior? You threaten me with a fire that burns for a season, and after a little while it's quenched, but you're ignorant of the fire of everlasting punishment. Polycarp was burned at the stake. He could have retracted. He could have said, I don't believe in God anymore. I'll deny my faith. But being threatened with being tied to a stake and burned, he said, how can I deny my Lord? And he was burned at the stake, and he was pierced with a spear, and it was all because he refused to burn incense to the Roman emperor. How can I do this thing? On his farewell, his last words, he said, I bless you, Father, for judging me worthy of this hour, so that in the company of the martyrs I may share the cup of Christ. Are we willing to stand faithful in testimony this morning? Do you know that's our victory? This is how we overcome the devil, is by testifying to the faith and then testifying of our faith. I remember as a little boy hearing Brother Ostis tell a little story about behind the Iron Curtain in Soviet Russia. In the Soviet Union, soldiers came into a group of worshipers. It was illegal to worship God. And a group of soldiers came in and they lined everybody up. And they had them, the soldiers lowered their guns at them and they brought out a picture of Jesus, a semblance. And they brought out a picture and they said, spit on it. And one by one, those so-called Christian believers went out and spit on that picture that represented Christ. And they knew the consequence was death. And they weren't willing to do that. One little girl in tears went up to that picture and took her skirt, took her dress and wiped the face of that, wiped that picture off. And she was not willing to deny her belief in Jesus Christ. Do you know at that time, those soldiers turned their guns. They turned their guns on the ones that had spit on the face of Jesus and shot them and left. The story doesn't always end that way. But I wonder this morning, how much persecution are we willing to suffer to maintain victory in our life? You know, I don't want to testify of defeat, but in a world that is plagued with spiritual darkness, the Lord's looking for some men and women and boys and girls and young people to be willing to stand up and say, I believe. This is true. I believe in God. I believe in holiness. And do you know when you are tempted to do wrong, that testimony will empower you because you have something to stand on. If you have muzzled yourself, and as a church, if we have been quiet on certain doctrines, the devil's going to start battling those things among us because we don't hear them anymore. You know, the world's doing it, so we've gotten quiet because we don't want to offend our family. We don't want to offend visitors. We don't want to offend. But what's going to be the result? What's going to be the consequence if we stop testifying of the Word? The consequence is defeat. But when we raise a standard, when we lift up and hold up the standard that God has given to us, do you know that empowers us? That there is something to attain, even if I don't have it today, there's something to reach that I can get to it in Christ. Another, there's a song that says, I'm saved and I know what? You know the song? I'm saved and I know that I am. Folks, if you know that you are saved this morning, and we've talked a little bit about the corporate part of it, but I want to speak personally this morning. If you're saved and you know that you're saved, openly declare it. Don't be ashamed to be saved. You say, but they won't understand. But how will they ever understand if there's no one they can look to? I'm not ashamed to be saved this morning. I'm not ashamed, we say, you know, I'm not ashamed of pure living. I'm not ashamed. Are you ashamed of it? Are you ashamed of modesty? I mean, that's outward. That's so insignificant compared to the inward. But you know, the first thing people see is the outward, isn't it? It's the first thing people see. Are we ashamed of that? Do we have to duck our heads when we go out with our families or when my wife or daughter's with me? Because, yeah, this is kind of, you know, I'm kind of one of those oddballs. Are we ashamed of that? If we're ashamed of it, we need to revisit the Lord and say, Lord, is this really how we have to live? Because if it's true and if it's right, you have nothing to be ashamed about. You have nothing to be ashamed about to say, I believe that the power of Jesus can deliver you from sin. I believe it works still today. Not ashamed of it. I'm saved and I know that I am. When you get saved, and if anybody here is newly saved, here's a little tip. That you're going to have an accuser. And he's going to do all that he can to come in your life and say, you're not saved. That's the job of the devil. And here's another one. This isn't just for the newly saved. If you were really spiritual, you wouldn't be tempted that way. Has anybody here ever had the devil talk to you like that? Are we going to give in to that? We're not ignorant of his devices this morning. A spirit of victory will openly declare, I am saved. How do you know that? Because I've been washed in the blood. I'm saved and I know that I am. There is power against accusations from the devil when you will openly declare what God has done in your life. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, They told Nebuchadnezzar, they said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We will not bow to your image. He's able to deliver us. He will deliver us. But you know what? If he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. I have expectations of God in my life this morning. But if God doesn't fulfill certain of my personal expectations, I am still not going to bow down because I still believe in the power of God. Are we willing to do that? The word of our testimony. Do you know this morning that they had victory in temptation because they openly declared their faith? Now what do you think if the three Hebrew children would have said, okay, Lord, you know we believe in you, so we're going to bow down, but it's not in our heart. It's not in our heart, so we're just doing it so as not to cause any ripples and just to kind of go along to get along. But in our hearts, Lord, we still acknowledge you. Would have there been victory there? Victory was found when they openly declared their belief and their faith in God. Saints, it's no different for us. Victory, I mentioned earlier, is not always measured by consequences or results. It doesn't mean everyone's going to agree with you. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy, but it means that we're going to maintain our integrity with God. You know that our position in Christ this morning, I would, Lord, help us get hold of this. Our position in Christ grants us all authority over the onslaughts of Satan. Our position in Christ. So don't keep quiet about your position. Don't keep quiet about what God has done in your life. You know that fear of failure many times, and we're going to be done here shortly, Fear of failure keeps people quiet. I see a few heads nodding. What's been your experience when you've had a series of failures and you felt like the Lord really came through and did something for you? But you thought, I'm not going to testify about it because if I fail again, then I've kind of made a fool of myself. Has anybody ever felt that way? Do you know part of our arsenal against the accuser of the brethren is, yes, the blood of the Lamb, but it's standing up and testifying, this is what God did for me. And tomorrow, when the devil comes and tempts me the same way, you know what? Sunday or Wednesday night, or when I was in the grocery store, when I was at work, I testified to someone what God had done. Do you know there is a power that comes from that testimony? And the other thing that happens is, this is very practical, there is an accountability. There's an accountability. I testified to them that the Lord had delivered me, and now I'm being tested. And it's like, you know what? I testified. There is a source of strength in that testimony. Folks, let's not lose our testimony this morning. I want to encourage us. This is where victory comes from, by the word of our testimony. And very briefly, do you know that part of our testimony is also going to be through, maybe even through song? I couldn't help but think about Paul and Silas when they were in jail. You remember what they did when they were beaten and in the darkest of midnight? What did they begin to do? They began to sing and praise. Talk about defeating the devil. The song of our testimony. We could just add that on there. The song of our testimony. We sang the song and I raised my hand and it empowered me. You know, singing the songs, when you put your hand up, sometimes it's saying, yes, this is my experience. Other times it's, Lord, I'm not there, but by your help, I want to get there. That's my prayer, Lord. That's my desire. Folks, there's power in that. There is power when we testify with our mouth, I'm saved. The Lord talked to my heart. And you know what? I was going and doing some things the Lord talked to me about not doing. And I just want to say the Lord spoke to me about that and I submitted to Him and I'm thankful for His dealings. Do you know what's going to happen when you're tempted tomorrow to do it? And you just testify to your family members how the Lord had dealt with you? Isn't there a measure of strength and power that comes that, you know what? I told others how God dealt with me. This is how the accuser's cast down, folks. How he's cast down. I want to stand on the Word of God. I want to be faithful to give Him thanks and praise. But I am thankful that we can have a spirit of victory. The accuser of the brethren has been cast down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And a first cousin to it is what they said next. And they loved not their lives unto death. Folks, don't be afraid to testify to what God has done. And if you're ever questioned as a church, as a corporate body, if we fail, I'm on my way down, but if we give in to pressures that are around us to stop teaching certain truths, and I will tell you there are pressures, if we give in to those pressures, our children and our grandchildren and the world around us, there will be truth that is lost. And it doesn't take very long before they say, well, the church doesn't, I haven't heard that. Let's stand by the Word, not our opinions, the Word of our testimony, and then individually, let's be willing to stand up with confidence, not talking about with pride or brashness, but let's stand in humility and testify, this is what God has done in my life. And there is a source of strength that you can draw from that, and the devil doesn't like it. Amen.